You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast. And we have a great guest, painter Gerald von Sayoc here, reaching him from Ohio. Hey, Gerald, welcome to Something Rather Than Nothing.
Hello, and thank you. Thank you, Ken, for having me on the show. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for being on the show. We start with with the origin question here of, you know, you as an artist, and ask all the guests that I have. Just wondering,
yes.
When you were born, were you an artist?
Yes, I think I was. I really do. I thought about this question, I thought about all the things that influenced me early on and all that stuff, but I can even think prior to those times when I felt drawn to do drawings or to do art or anything like that, I still was thinking creatively. I guess you could argue that a lot of children think creatively naturally. You know, it's maybe I wasn't that special or anything like that. All kids probably think creatively. But I don't know. I was really like, I was putting, you know, movies together in my head at a really early age. I was absorbing music, just stuff I heard on the radio. And I had a really good imagination. I really think there was like I had no choice in the matter. I wanted to be an artist around like maybe age 10 or 11. Prior to that, I wanted to be an astronaut or an archaeologist. But even you think about that, there's that, all of those kind of have that desire to explore. And so barring, you know, the immense amount of education that you need to be an astronaut and an archaeologist, I kind of threw that out because I knew that I probably would do better in the arts I wasn't too good at math and not too good at all the other study things that you'd have to do those kind of jobs. So it worked for me. And so, I can't think of a time when I didn't want to be an artist or a creative person.
Yeah. And I hear that. I hear that he's a good student, but I think that's the artist report card when they're a good student, but
nope, definitely. I was a janitor. No, I'm kidding. No, I was actually, I have been a janitor for a very long time. Like, I did that for years. But no, when I was born, I think I was a pretty creative thinker early on. In fact, as far back as I can remember, I was thinking about how perhaps being creative as a youth or like a very, very young person kind of is typical of everyone. So I don't know if really that made me all that special at all, but I sure didn't veer away from that too much. It didn't, like, all through my life, I didn't decide, well, enough of that creative thinking, I'm going to go into medicine or something. Nothing else swayed me ever. And so whether it was coloring and coloring books or thinking about, you know, putting together my own movies in my head or just daydreaming a lot, which I heard a lot of that from my teachers. My report cards always had, Gerald's a good student, but he's, needs to pay attention. I had a lot of that kind of like, he daydreams a lot. And so I was guilty of doing that. And so I really do think that my head was always in art as a young person and as an adolescent and a teen and all the way up to adulthood.
Yeah, a couple questions I have before we get to some of the other conceptual questions. I heard on a recent interview with you about the importance of a teacher when you were in high school. For my day job, I represent teachers, and you know, I'm very aware of the importance and influence they have. And I didn't develop in the arts when I was younger, and you know, I think back all the time about, you know, the type of teachers you have and how they connect with, you know, your talents and see who you are. And I think you had that experience with your, you know, mentor teacher. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how important that was for you identifying as an artist?
Extremely important. Yes, it was. I always say that that was kind of the spark that started it all. Prior to meeting this teacher in high school, and it was my high school art teacher, Mr. Darrow. Prior to meeting him, everything was kind of like a soup in my mind, kind of a vague. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know, you know, what exactly art was or what a career in art was. I just knew I liked it. I knew it was interesting. I knew I had some talent as far as drawing and painting. But I mean, I didn't know what to do with it. Like at the time, you know, I'll give you a really fast anecdote. Really, and it kind of shows how fate can step in, or, you know, if you, you know, you know, how God can step in and just kind of steer you in the right direction. My choice when I went to high school, when you go to high school, you can choose electives. And I had either the choice of, well, I had any choice. I could do Spanish, a foreign language. I could do biology. I could do art, computers. And at the time, like, I liked art, but I just was like, well, I like computers too. So I chose computers. And of course, this was, you know, 1984, 85. So, I mean, computers were pretty basic at the time. And, but anyway, that's what I signed up to do. And had it not happened the way it happened, which was in the middle of summer, I got a phone call from the school that said that the computer class is full. And do you have an alternate choice? And just right off the top of my head, I'm like, art. And I went to art. And I don't think if that would have happened, who knows, you know, I might be rich right now. I would have been working for Apple. But, you know, I'm glad I didn't, because I chose art, and I who knows, you know, I could have been, you know, oh my gosh, just to think about, you know, what was about to happen in 10 years. But anyway, I chose art, and I'm glad I did. And then I think maybe there was no choice, really. I was going to head that way anyway, no matter what. I met Mr. Darrow, my art teacher. Who really was just, I mean, he was, I said before in the interview that I was in prior to this, and I'll say it again, there's an old saying that goes, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And he appeared because I was ready. And, you know, I gave him all the questions that were in my head. I sorted out, like, you know, what would this whole art thing was. I discovered that that's what I really wanted to do. It excited me. And I found out I was pretty good at it. And he was definitely somebody that didn't pull his punches. He was a teacher that wouldn't just shower you with praise constantly. In fact, he would always say, like, okay, enough praise. You know, I'm not, you know, get back to work. And, you know, he helped me a lot. He was a huge influence. And so I've had others prior after that in college and stuff like that. But I think that was the turning point.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Gerald. And thank you, Mr. Darrow. It's just wonderful to hear that connection and to help you bring you into, you know, what your talents are. Gerald, I have the question I don't like to ask painters, but I have to rely on you as the painter up front. So anytime I interview painters, it's always a little bit weird, you know, kind of to talk about art, because, you know, painting being so visual, and try to acquaint the audience, you know, with your art. But could you spend a lot of years creating, painting and creating. Can you tell the audience, you know, in general, what you're trying to do with your paintings and how you go about making them?
Sure. I'm trying to change lives, Ken. No, I'm in a way that sounds facetious, but that's really not too far from the truth. I really do want to change you as a viewer. I want there to be, what I'm trying to do with my paintings is create something that you won't forget when you leave the gallery. I do feel that a lot of art these days, and a lot of art in general, it's wall decoration, and it's it looks good on, you know, in a living room or something like that, and that's all well and good. But I really, above all things, I want it to be a memorable or some kind of experience that you don't forget once you are not looking at the painting anymore. Those are my favorite kind of paintings, ones that stick with you, get under your skin, make you think. And sometimes those aren't the pretty pictures. Sometimes they are. I'm not really good at pretty pictures. It just doesn't, it's not the kind of subject that I like to work with. Maybe someday that'll change, because I sure know that I've seen pictures that, you know, they didn't have to be Francisco Goya to make me interested in it. But I just sort of lean toward that darker kind of stuff. And so that's the reason I make paintings, that's the experience that I want the audience to have upon seeing my work, which is stop, look, think about it. Maybe you might hate it, maybe you love it, but just feel something about it. I think the worst, I always tell a lot of my students, you know, the worst compliment you, well, I guess you would, I don't even know if I call it a compliment, the worst comment that you can get on your painting is, that's nice. You know, that is just nothing. That's flatline. Either that, or a lot of times people go, it's different. And it's just, really? That's all it got? You know, that's as far as I got into your head? You know, that I want something. You know, if it's just repulsion, okay, fine. If it's laughter, great. You know, if it's immediate interest and followed up by tons of questions, that's even better. But a vase of flowers just doesn't do it for me. And even if it's really, really well painted, it just, especially these days when we're overloaded with images coming from all sides, from the internet, from just television and everywhere else, you know, you've got to, as an artist, you have an obligation, I think, to go a little higher and better and do something that takes your art above all that stuff. And of course, engages the audience. The way I make paintings is just typical. I'm a traditional oil painter. So I paint mostly on oil, on canvas, sometimes on board, usually in larger formats because I like attention. I want to stand out from the other people in the gallery, but I have to say that there is a lot of people that do small work that's just as powerful. I don't really care what size it is, just as long as it hits you in the you know, brain, or in the heart, or in the nerve endings.
Yeah, thank you, Gerald. I'm a big fan of your art, and for me, you know, the provocation is helpful, but the provocation for me as the viewer is on the basis of thought, like you said, to kind of you know, crack your head a little bit. I'm really sympathetic to that, and then, you know, for me, kind of my general outlook in you know, the work I do in within labor or as an activist on social issues is I really think it's so important for the disruption, because if for me personally, if I have a critique of what is or how things are, the disruption is that crack. And, you know, that's when I look at your paintings, it's that crack, it's that agitation, it's that, you know, for your brain, a crack in there and saying, well, what is this juxtaposition? And it pulls you in. And that's for me, the big draw. So,
yes.
I'm right in tune as far as an audience with, with what you're doing.
Yes. There was a,
Yes. Gerald, let's move to the big question. We started to get into, you know, into you know, your art and how you make it, and we're using that term. And I think one of the best questions that I love to hear from from anybody who dedicates a good chunk of their time, or maybe all of their time in thinking into art. But what is art?
Yeah. Art, well, that's a huge question. And I mean, you can get 100 responses that are all accurate. To, you know, to me, just saying it, to me, art is something perfect. It's like, the best analogy I can think of is, a hydrogen atom. As strange as that sounds, but if you take anything away from that atom, you know, a proton, a neutron, or an electron, it ceases to be hydrogen and becomes something else. And so it's an elemental thing, the art is. And it, good art, you know, there's, and then you, then it begs the question, well, then what, you know, what things can qualify as art? And, you know, I've, for a long time, I would say, like, you know, anything can be art. You know, you could be a really good plumber, and you, you know, the plumbing that you do under somebody's sink can be an art form because you've done it so well and it's perfect. And it's, you know, it's, you know, it's a work of art. You know, you get a good guy to cut your hair, or a good person to work on your car or something like that. They can be an artist. You know, it's like, wow, he just does such a great job, or she does such a great job. I don't know. I'm thinking in, you know, I don't look at plumbing, and it doesn't move me to think thoughts about the universe and you know, higher. It doesn't take me to a higher place. So maybe those things maybe should be kind of shifted over to the category of craftsmanship. Art to me is something that is is something greater than the sum of its parts. So there's a painting, a sculpture, a music, a play, a novel, and then there's you. And then you interact with the thing, with the art. So that's one plus one. But the answer isn't two, it's three. Because it's you plus the art equals you and the art interacting, and also something else that comes naturally or just comes magically into your head, which is sort of your reaction to it. So it isn't just two things interacting. There's a third thing. There's sort of what it's doing to you. And if a work of art does something to you, and you know, I've had art that's changed my entire life. Like talking about when I met my high school art teacher, prior to really getting to know him, I looked through a book of art, an art history book, and I saw a Salvador Dali painting. And like, I mean, that is a landmark moment in my life. I saw that Salvador Dali painting and I knew that was what I wanted to do. And so there, you know, it was one plus one, me plus the Salvador Dali painting, didn't just equal the two things happening. It equaled this magic thing that happened in my brain. And so I'm hoping that when people look at my art, that there is sort of some kind of magic. I don't know if that's the right term to use. It sounds kind of wonky, but something, there's a spark, a something that never existed before comes into existence when you see and interact with really good art.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I think I'm always fascinated by, you know, the painting or the painter that somebody sees and, you know, pulls into the artwork. For me, it wasn't when I was much younger, I was in high school as well. Uh-huh. It wasn't my doing art, but it was my seeing art. Uh-huh. And I studied Velázquez in high school and had some introduction. And then my senior year in high school, I was able to travel to Spain on a trip and go to the Prado and then wow, see Velázquez. And you know, sometimes as we try to describe this, or you try to describe it, what was happening, right? Uh-huh. Like what was going on as I stood in front of, you know, that painting, saw it live, right, and then said, whoa, there's something. For me, it was, there's something much bigger to this world than I've encountered before. It was that there was something much bigger and right. profound. That, yeah.
Yeah. It comes from the best art for sure.
So, Gerald, another question I have, which is a little bit of a constituent, and for some folks, it's an origin question again, but yes. talking about influence of people and things,
yes.
What or who made you who you are?
What made me what I am is that's probably the toughest one. I can't really put it on one person. I could say my parents made me who I am because they were my biggest influence from age 1 to 10 or something like that. And then there's all the instructors that I've come across. And then, you know, I mean, The Clash made me who I am. The Pink Floyd made me who I am. Salvador Dali made me who I am. Stanley Kubrick, David Lynch made me who I am. These are all like just elements in the stew that got poured into me, into my head. And, you know, these are the things that I attach to. These are the things that for some reason made me perk my ears up and say, no, that's something I want to look into a little more. There's been, you know, there was art and other influences that came to me as a youth and just passed through me. Like I just didn't get into certain things. And country and Western music didn't stick with me, but punk did, you know, like that meant something to me. And like, I wanted to look into that a little bit more. I was shaped, you know, really by music a lot when I was young. Like I really had gotten into music. I had no desire to become a musician, although I did buy a guitar once in college. It went nowhere. All I could do was make it feed back. And I thought, well, that was cool. But then when it came to making notes and chords, no, nothing happened. So, that was my brief stint as a musician, but music really does influence me. And, it's influenced me from like an early stage right till now. Like when I paint, I like to listen to music. Music inspires me. Sometimes I even get ideas for paintings when I hear music. But that can also happen with movies, poetry. T.S. Eliot made me who I am. Ann Sexton made me who I am. Sylvia Plath made me who I am. Ray Bradbury made me who I am. All the stuff just kind of came in to my brain, and it's still coming in, thank heavens. I still have, luckily, at age 52, you know, you kind of have seen a lot and been around a lot, and there are fewer things now that really kind of make me perk my ears up, but they still come. And when they do, it's a good feeling because you feel up to the times, and you just feel like, I feel alive and part of this world.
And thanks for that. Yeah, I love to hear all the different influences that, you know, are back behind, what you create. And thanks for leading us to you. I did encounter your art and basically as the way I think you wanted folks to encounter it. You notice it. Like I said, I think your paintings are just engaging and disruptive in the way that you said and made me think. And I encourage everybody to check out Gerald's work on the webpage or Instagram. And Gerald, I really wanted to thank you for spending the time and coming on the show. I've been really excited and both before and throughout the show to kind of learn about the work that you do and your thinking behind it. So really wanted to thank you for coming on to the podcast. Take care, brother.
This is Something Rather Than Nothing.